Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I am Jim Dolan, your host for the hour, and popping in briefly here and there to tell you a little bit about the programs we're listening to. Today, we're going to have The Saint, and we're going to have The Stan Freberg Show. Stan Freberg, of course, is the comedian, very popular in the late 1950s, made a couple of albums in the 60s and so forth. But we start off here with The Saint. Now, The Saint was Vincent Price, movie actor, and during radio's golden years, all the movie people were on radio as well, because radio was a television of their age, and it was great cross-promotion. So Vincent Price is an adventurer, I guess you'd call him, moving around from place to place and getting involved in all kinds of things. This program is called The Next of Kin. It's from 1951.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as The Saint.
All right, I'm coming. Wait until I put my head on, can't you? You? Well, this is an unexpected displeasure.
I gotta talk to you, Saint, quick. Let me...
All right, Blanco. But I'm surprised at you. 4 o'clock in the morning is no time for a man in your profession to pay social calls.
Like I say, I gotta talk, and you gotta listen.
I'm listening.
They got a job going to be pulled tomorrow. Today, I mean. It's a big deal, Saint. Big deal. Oh,
I'm glad. I'd hate to think you'd retired from crime, Blanco. It would throw so many deserving policemen out of work.
It's a dirty deal. Filthy.
That sounds like something right up your alley.
Not this kind of thing, Saint. This is one line I draw. And it's a straight line, you hear?
Yes, I hear.
Before I know what the score is, before I know who they're going to use it on, I rig it. The best job of its kind I ever do. It's gonna work. And he ain't gonna leave a trace.
Yeah, I should never have had that spumoni right after a lobster dinner. Blanco, do you think if I get up and take some bicarb, you and the rest of this dream will go away?
Listen to me. I can't go to the cops. You're the only one. You gotta stop it, Saint. You gotta.
I gotta?
Yeah, you gotta. And you only got till noon.
Blanco, at the rate you're painting this picture, it's going to be at least noon before I know what it's all about.
It's about murder.
Oh, well, let's get down to personalities. Who is going to be murdered by whom, why, and how? Let's have the name of the potential victim as an appetizer, huh? We'll get down to the main course later.
That calls for a kind of complicated answer.
It was kind of a complicated question. But do your best. Neatness counts.
You remember Frank Kane?
Of the Chicago Canes? Of course. Who could ever forget the inventor of the game of encase your friends in a barrel of cement and dump them in the river?
Yeah, you'll remember.
Yeah, I also remember that when the federal men were just about to catch up with him in Central America a few years ago, he was discourteous enough to die a natural death.
Yeah. Somebody died in Central America 3 years ago.
Not Frank Kane?
There are places where a buck here and a buck there can get any moniker you want on a death certificate. And Kane had plenty of bucks. Getting the corpse to plant in that same monarchy is easy.
So Frank Kane's still alive?
Yeah, he's alive. But that ain't all. He used to... Wait. You hear something?
What sort of something?
Someone move in the hall.
Now pour yourself some brandy and try and get your nerves back into waltz time, eh, Blanco? Now look, what about Frank Kane?
You sure you didn't hear something? Fair the lights. Who turn off the...
Down, get down! Blanco. Blanco.
Talk later. What about me. The girl. Don't let them kill her.
Who, Blanco? Who?
She on way to party. The car sent. The car. Don't let it.
Good to see you again, Mr. Templer. And here I've been thinking you'd given up after I was drinking.
Yeah, I just about have. And it's a pity because I like this bar of yours, Morgan. Why don't you make an honest saloon out of it and open up during legal hours?
My customers would never stand for it.
No?
My customers all learn to drink during Prohibition. And speakeasies. The way they look at it, a drink just doesn't have any kick in it if it's legal.
Yeah, and this is the part of the lost generation that's still lost, eh?
Would you like a table?
Just some information.
Yes?
About a year ago, when I was one of your regular patrons, a lady used to frequent this place.
A lady in this place?
Her name was Violet, and so was the color of her hair. She used to sit at a table around the bend there and make tender speeches to a bottle of scotch. Do you remember Violet?
Indeed, I do.
Where can I find her?
At a table around the bend there, making tender speeches to a bottle of scotch.
I should have known. There was a love that was fated to last. Thanks, Morgan.
You're welcome, Mr. Templer.
Hello, Violet.
Go away.
Oh, now that's no way to treat an old friend.
Old friend? You're no old friend. Don't have friends. Go away.
You mean you've forgotten me?
What's your name?
It's an old Scotch name. 8 years old.
Sit down, friend.
Thank you. Hey, waiter.
Yes, sir?
The usual for the lady doubled, hmm?
Coming right up, sir.
Sit down again, friend.
Thanks. Look, speaking of friends, whatever became of Louis Blanco?
Blanco?
Mm-hmm.
You a friend of Blanco?
A former friend.
What do you want him for? You cop?
No, no. I have some money for him.
Money? You owe money? What for?
Well, he did a job for me.
Job? How about?
I'd like to pay him before he gets the wrong idea. Where does he hang out?
You don't know.
What?
About the job he got, the garage.
What garage?
Central Garage, 55th Street.
Oh, yes, of course.
Here you are, sir.
My old friend.
Violet, look, tell me something.
You know I like you.
Yeah, I like you, Violet. Mm-hmm. But tell me, why does a fellow like Blanco hang around a garage?
You don't know?
No.
You're no friend of Blanco. You're a cop. You're pumping me for him Let's have a drink.
Yeah, let's. How's Frank these days?
Frank?
If you know Blanco, you certainly must know Frank. Blanco used to work for him in the old days. Frank Kane, remember?
How do you torture me like this? You know Frank's dead.
You sure?
Sure. I ought to know whether or not I'm a widow. Why do you think I drink like this? Why do you think...
Go away!
Go away!
Wake up. Hey, come on, wake up.
Huh? Oh, guess I fell asleep. Gets kind of lonesome here in this garage all night.
I'm sorry I woke you.
That's okay, mister. You bringing a car in?
No.
Taking one out?
I just want to talk.
You woke me up just to talk to me?
Well, you said you were lonesome. What do you know about a man named Blanco?
Blanco? Customer?
I thought perhaps you worked here.
Nobody by that name here, mister.
You sure?
Sure, I'm sure. There's four of us working here. Me, Ed Williams, Pulaski, and that new guy, Stevens. We take turns working nights. Tonight was my turn.
The new man, Stevens, what does he look like?
Look, pal, why don't you give a guy a break?
Huh?
So he did time once. Is that any reason for you cops to come checking up on him every time he got nothing else to do?
What does he look like?
You don't get any help from me. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I believe in helping the law, but not when it starts hounding a guy.
Then I'll give it to you straight, friend. There was a murder committed tonight.
Well, the chances are the guy you're asking about had nothing to do with it.
If Stevens and Blanco are the same man, he had a lot to do with it.
What, you think he killed somebody?
He's the corpse.
He's dead?
What did he look like?
About medium height, dark hair, dark eyes, sort of dark complexion.
He's dead. That's Blanco.
Gee. Well, who did it?
That's what you're going to help me find out.
Me?
Mm-hmm. What did Blanco do around here?
Same as we all do.
Sleep.
We're mechanics, mister. Last night was the guy's night on. It was supposed to be my turn, but he asked me to swap with him.
Last night, eh?
Yeah, so I swapped. It made no difference to me. Him, he made out like it was important.
What did he work on while he was here last night?
Now, how should I know?
Well, don't you keep records?
Well, sure.
Well, then that's how you should know.
All right, come on in the office.
All right. This is your record file, huh?
Yeah.
Yep, here's the report. Yesterday's date. Mechanic, Stevens, lube job, Andrews.
Oh, yeah, that's a Hudson Hornet out there. Belongs to a real classy chick.
Yeah, here's another report. Engine tune-up. Maddox.
Maddox. Oh, yeah, that's a foreign job. The chauffeur-driven bus over there, but, you know, that's funny.
Oh, why?
Oh, I tuned the engine on that heap only 3 days ago, and I did a good job. Why should they want it done again?
Let's go take a look. Maybe we can find out.
Yeah.
Yes? My name is Templer. I'd like to see Miss Maddox, please.
Miss Maddox?
Mm-hmm.
Miss Virginia Maddox?
Yes, please.
Oh, forgive me for being inquisitive, sir, but it isn't quite 8 o'clock yet. A little early for a social call. Are you acquainted with Miss Maddox?
We went to school together.
You did?
Who is it, Carson?
There's a gentleman calling on Miss Maddox.
What's that? Calling on Miss... You wish to see Miss Maddox?
Yes, but I didn't realize I'd create this much of a sensation. I must remember to include I'd like to see Miss Maddox in my repertoire of startling things to say.
Well, I'm Mrs. Anders. I'm in charge of this household. Do you know Miss Maddox?
The gentleman went to school with Miss Maddox.
He went to school with her?
That's what he said.
You know, there's something about all this that reminds me of the time a friend of mine tried to negotiate a federal loan.
Oh, show the gentleman into the library, Carson. I'll go call Miss Maddox.
If you'll just be seated, Mr. Templer.
Oh, thanks.
No, I didn't catch his name, but it's someone who went to school with you.
I know. I'll bet it's Fatso. Why, you're not Fatso.
I suppose I should say thank you, but certainly you're not Miss Maddox.
Why, of course I am.
Now, don't tell me she's changed that much since your school days.
I'm afraid I'm the one who's changed. As a matter of fact, I feel myself changing slightly this very moment.
Oh, well, when you find the right Virginia Maddox, you can both have a laugh over this.
Yes, a good long laugh.
Yeah, I think the time to laugh is right now. And you can all join in. You see, this is the Virginia Maddox I'm looking for.
I beg your pardon?
There's a foreign car, an Assata Fraschini, at the central garage, registered to a Virginia Maddox at this address.
Why, of course, it's mine.
Yours?
Oh, it's mine, all right. Although, naturally, I don't drive it. You see, I'm only 8.
And if you lived in California, you'd have been driving it for years.
I'm afraid I don't understand what you're trying to say.
I'm not saying, Mrs. Anders. I'm asking. Did you ever hear of a man named Blanco?
Blanco? No. I don't believe I ever have.
I haven't. Have you, Carson?
No, Miss Virginia. I don't... Wait a minute. When I took the Asada down to the garage the other day, there's a new mechanic there. I think his name is Blanco.
Now, that's interesting.
You're a detective. That's what you are. A detective.
No, Virginia. Besides, if I were a detective, I'd know the answer to something Carson just said without having to ask.
And what does that mean?
Suppose you tell me.
What?
How you knew that the new mechanic's name was Blanco when even the men who worked with him thought it was Stevens.
Well, maybe it was another man. I mean...
I'll tell you what I mean, Carson. You're the first real link, the first hopeful sign that I'm heading in the right direction.
Look here, what is this all about?
Virginia, didn't I just hear your doll cry?
Oh, Mr. Templer, I haven't played with dolls since I was a child.
Oh, yes, of course, I should have known.
You don't have to make an excuse, Mr. Templer. I know you want me to leave the room. You want to talk grown-up talk.
Virginia, you're the most fascinating woman I've met in years. But there are a few questions I want Carson to answer.
Mister, whatever your name is, I'll give you just 3 seconds to put up your hands.
Very well, if you insist.
And now, sir, I should like to know what you mean by forcing your way into this house.
working with Uncle Roger, can't you see? He's a detective, just like in the comic book.
Exactly. Fire that gun, sir, and I'll bleed ink all over this handsome carpet.
He forced his way in on the pretense of seeing Virginia, Mr. Pierce. But it appears that it was really Carson he wanted to see.
You know this man, Carson?
No, Mr. Pierce. I never saw him before. His name is Templar.
Templar? Simon Templar?
And I'm certainly not fatso, am I, Virginia?
No.
Oh, so you're the saint. I'm very glad to meet you.
Then, may I put my hands down?
Of course. But what is the reason for this rather strange and unsaintly visit, Mr. Templar?
Virginia, why don't you go try on your party dress, huh? The one you're going to wear this afternoon?
Oh, I've already tried it. But how did you know I was going to Janice Fuller's party this afternoon?
We comic book detectives know everything. Is Carson going to drive you in the car?
Well, of course. The only way to get to Janice's house is by car. Unless you feel like walking all the way up the mountain.
Mountain? Oh, yes, it would have to be a mountain, wouldn't it? Mountain road with a great many curves.
I am still waiting for your explanation, Templar.
The child.
Leave the room, Virginia.
No, I want to stay.
Virginia?
Oh, very well. But you know I'll find out everything anyway. Carson will tell me. Won't you, Carson?
If I can, dear.
Goodbye, Mr. Templar.
Goodbye, Virginia. I've enjoyed meeting you.
Now, Mr. Templar, what did you want to see us about?
About murder, Mr. Pierce. One that was committed a few hours back and another one that I hope to prevent. It's scheduled to take place in a few hours from now.
What?
Mr. Templar, please explain.
A few hours ago, I was paid a call by a hoodlum named Blanco. This led to a brief but informative conversation with a lady barfly named Violet, which in turn led to an interesting half hour with a limousine named Isotta Frascini. And so, here I am.
I'm afraid I don't understand either.
All that's clear to me as of now is that there's been a murder, and there's a good chance there's going to be another one.
Murder? Who was murdered, Mr. Templar?
The aforementioned hoodlum, Blanco. But shed no tears. He'll be missed only by the manufacturers of small arms ammunition who, I'm afraid, are going to notice a rather remarkable drop in their sales.
What?
It's the car that I'm here about, Mr. Pierce. The Isotta Frascini that spends its spare time at the central garage. The registration slip says that it lives here.
Yes, that's our car. It is the central garage we use, Carson, is it not?
Yes, sir.
I understand the car is owned by that charming child, although she informs me she doesn't actually drive.
Yes, the car is hers.
Mr. Pierce, I hope you won't think I have an ulterior motive. I'm a little old for Virginia, but she's loaded.
She's extremely wealthy. You see, Mr. Templar, shortly before Virginia's father died in South America, he drew up a will giving the child his entire fortune. I was designated her guardian until she comes of age.
Oh, then you're not really her uncle.
I'm an uncle in name only.
Oh, I see. Tell me something. Where in South America did the child's father die?
In Honduras.
That's Central America.
Oh, is it? I do believe it is. Why do you ask, Mr. Templar?
I wasn't really asking. I was shooting in the dark.
What?
When I return to this house in an hour or two, Mr. Pierce, we must all have another delightful talk. It will be a different kind of talk, perhaps, but nonetheless delightful.
But what in heaven's name?
Later, Mr. Pierce, later. Right now I have a date with a lady with violet hair who thinks I'm a bottle of scotch.
Yes, who is it?
Package.
Package. I didn't order anything. Package from what? What is this?
Hello, Violet. I'd like to have a talk with you.
A talk? Say, look here, I don't know who you are, but
if you'll let me in, I'll...
No, I've...
Come on. Hey, you...
What do you mean by forcing your way in here?
Argument while always stimulating takes time, and I don't have much time.
What's this all about?
Blanco's dead.
Blanco? What's that to me, Carter?
I'm not the police. My name is Simon Templar.
The saint?
And you're Violet Kane, Frank Kane's wife.
Widow.
Yeah, that's another argument we're not going to have time for.
You're nuts. If Frank were alive, I'd know it. Drink?
No.
There, that's better. All right, we can talk now. What's Blanco's murder got to do with me?
You're next on the list. Hey, you dropped your glass.
What do you mean by that crack? There's nobody... I don't feel so good.
May I help you?
No, I... What? Who'd want to kill me?
Somebody who's related to you. I'm not sure who.
Related to me? But I've only got one. I don't feel so good.
What is it?
Oh, it burns.
Violet, come on now. Let me.
Now, listen to me. Picture on the table. Only relative.
Hello there, Morgan.
Oh, hi, it's Mr. Templer.
What brings you out in the cream of the day? I'd imagine a man who runs an after-hours saloon would naturally indulge in after-hours sleep.
Well, as a matter of fact, I was just about to go home, on my way to pick up my car.
Not by any chance at the central garage?
Oh, yes, how'd you know?
Deduction.
That's incredible.
Not too incredible. It's easy enough to deduce that a man would keep his car in a garage that he happens to be the owner of.
Oh, so you know that, too. There isn't very much you miss, is there, Mr. Templer?
Murder has a way of sharpening one's senses.
Murder?
Man named Blanco. Should we go into the garage?
Right behind you. You, said his name was Blanco?
Yeah. And just now, Violet came.
Violet dead? But how?
Someone evidently thought her whiskey would have a bigger kick with a pinch of poison in the bottle. It did.
It's ghastly.
Terrible.
But who did this thing?
You did.
Me? I realize it's rather early in the day for a man to be at his best, but don't you think that joke is in bad taste?
If it were a joke, it would be. Ah, the Asada. Beautiful automobile that child owns, isn't it? Look at those lines. So sleek, so graceful. Get in, Morgan.
Get in.
It's a perfect morning for a drive. I don't think anyone would mind if we took her out. You see, I'm rather friendly with the owner. She likes me. To her, I'm a character straight out of her favorite comic book. Get in, Morgan.
No, thanks.
Why not? We'll take her climbing. I'd like to see what she'll do on a mountain road. Road with a couple of hairpin curves. Come on.
No, some other time, Saint.
Won't be another time. Or didn't you see the beautiful job Blanco did on the tie rod?
No.
Sawed through until it's hanging together by the proverbial hair. One sharp turn, like the turns you'd find on a mountain road, and the steering system collapses. And there's an accident. Yeah. Yeah, Blanco did an excellent job until he learned who the victim was to be. It was too much for even his stomach.
Oh, you're dreaming. Why would anybody want to wreck an expensive bus like this?
A little girl who is going to a party on top of a mountain this afternoon has too much money, Morgan. If she should happen to fall off that mountain in this car, some happy next of kin would have a very happy fortune.
Well, that lets me out, Saint. I'm nobody's next of kin.
There was a picture Violet pointed out to me before she died. A snapshot taken at a wedding. And do you know who the bride and groom were?
Okay. Okay, we've talked long enough, Saint. Frank Kane left a lot of money when he died. I'm too close to
it. That's another mistake you made, Morgan.
Huh?
It's me, Frank Kane.
Kane? Say, what are you pulling your Carson, the chauffeur?
Carson's only his nom de plastic surgery. It's Kane with a new name and a new face.
Yeah, but with the same old trigger eye.
Kane, are you...
Yeah, but never mind me. Don't let him get away.
You took care of that. You're the one who didn't let him get away, Kane. A man loses all inclination to run when there's a bullet in his kneecap. You'll keep until the police come.
Good. Good. Saint... Virginia, little girl. See.
Look, see. Don't try to talk now.
Gotta tell you. See that she.
Don't worry, Kane. Your daughter will be safe. I'm gonna make sure of that right now.
It's beyond belief, Mr. Templer.
What sort of fiend could even dream of harming that child?
It was a team of fiends, Mr. Pierce. And one of the fiends has just given up his membership in the inhuman race.
There were two of them?
Yes, Ms. Anders, two of them. Morgan and someone else. Someone who would be Virginia's only surviving relative once Violet Kane, the child's mother, had been erased from the picture. The only surviving relative and inheritor of the child's fortune.
But we know of no relatives, do we, Roger?
There was only Frank Kane, her father. But legally, at least, he was dead.
Now he's dead in fact as well. But there is another relative. I'm amazed that you don't know.
Who?
Violet pointed to a wedding picture she was dying. It was your wedding picture, Mrs. Anders? You were the bride. Morgan was the groom.
Yes. I was married to Morgan once. But surely that doesn't mean that I...
Look here, Templar, this is preposterous.
It would be even more preposterous if Violet hadn't had a sentimental nature.
What do you mean?
A snapshot. She wrote the names of each member of the wedding party on the snapshot.
The names?
Mm-hmm. She had your name written. Rose, isn't it? What makes the photograph really interesting is the man standing next to the groom. It was you, Mr. Pierce.
Of course it was me. Is it a crime to attend a wedding or have one's name written on a picture?
No, but in this case it solves a crime. Because, Mr. Pierce, under your picture, Violet affectionately wrote, "My dear brother Roger."
What? You?
Don't.
You?
Don't bother. I'm sure I've been called it before. Come on, brother. We're going visiting. There's a new district attorney downtown who's dying to make himself a reputation. Virginia, I've brought you a present.
Oh, Mr. Templer, you shouldn't have. But I'm so glad you did.
Well, go on, open it.
Oh. Oh, it's the most beautiful doll I ever saw.
You did tell me once that you hadn't played with dolls since you were a child, but...
Mr. Templer, I'll tell you a secret.
What, Virginia?
I just said that to be sophisticated.
Something tells me that a certain young man named Fatso is going to be trimmed right down to your size.
You have been listening to another transcribed adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. And now, here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, in tonight's cast you heard Maggie Morley as Violet and Anne Whitfield as Little Virginia. Edmund MacDonald played Blanco, Jack Moyles, Carson. Ted Von Eltz was Roger, Irene Tedrow, Mrs. Anders. Morgan was played by Barney Phillips and the Garage Man by Jerry Hausner. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of The Saint. Good night.
This adventure of The Saint was written by Michael Cramoy. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price is soon to be seen co-starring in RKO's production of His Kind of Woman. And all you Saint fans will be glad to know that the Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. This is Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Every Sunday on NBC, meet two delightful and often confusing families, the Blandings and the Harrises. Mr. and Mrs. Blanding stars Cary Grant and Betsy Drake as the proud but bewildered owners of the famous Dream House. And the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show features the hilarious Harrises and their friends in typical amazing Harris situations. Hear them later today. Fred Allen, Edwin, and B. Lilly join the big show today.
That was an episode of The Saint, starring Vincent Price, next of kin from 1951. Well, next up here on the RTC Weekly Download is comedy. And the rather famous Stan Freberg show, it wasn't on for too long, but it was because it was very late in network radio's days. But it was a pretty good show just the same, and I think you'll like it too. This is from 1957. It's entitled The Uninterrupted Melody.
This is the eighth show of the series of a brand new radio series.
From Hollywood, we present the Stan Freberg Show.
With the music of Billy May.
Plus the songs of Peggy Taylor with Dawes Butler, June Foray, Peter Leeds, and the Judd Conlon Rhythmaires.
You may not find us on your TV,
because in case you did not know, we're being brought to you on... Brought to you on...
brought to you on RADI. Oh.
Thank you very much. And to start us off tonight, we've invited back for the second time on our show the Zasiloff family. As we told you, they're Swiss. This way, we didn't offend anyone. This is probably one of the finest acrobatic acts in the business, and rather a novelty on radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the Zasiloff family! Here they go, ladies and gentlemen. It's magnificent to see. I wish you could see it. And they're bouncing up in the air. Look at that. Why, he's holding him up in the air by one.
Hey!
Very good. And now wearing purple tights. And look at that. My goodness, that's amazing. 18 men, ladies and gentlemen, on one end of a... Yes. Wonderful, wonderful. And now on the way to the show.
Hey, Stan.
Well, what is it, Dawes Butler, as they say in radio?
What are we going to do next?
Well, I tell you, Dawes, I was wondering the other day.
Wondering what?
How the good humor man stand it. Can you imagine driving an ice cream truck around all day long, let alone all summer long, with the same song flailing you about the ears?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How often do they change that song, I wonder?
I don't know.
Gee, those chimes, would drive me nuts.
Yeah, what song do you hear most often?
London Bridge is Falling Down. How about you?
I hear London Bridge quite a bit. Pop Goes the Weasel is very big on our street. Let's write a screenplay about it, okay?
Okay, and let's have the titles appear on ice cream bars.
That's good, that's good.
Freiburg presents Uninterrupted Melody. This is the story of men in uniform, their loves, their hopes, their dreams, and of the task to which they have so devoted their lives. Yes, to that gallant corps of heroes, the good humor men of America, is this picture respectfully dedicated. Do you know what it's like, after having a day off with the family, to try to sleep on the night before you report back for action? Do you know what it's like to lie there and live with fear? Charlie Krasmeyer knows.
Charlie, what are you doing?
I'm lying here living with fear.
Well, try and get some sleep, sweetheart.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just lying here thinking about tomorrow.
Well, you just mustn't lie there thinking about tomorrow.
Tomorrow, it's Pop Goes the Weasel and... hundreds of grimy little hands reaching out for ice cream bars. Walter Yoder cracked up last week. I saw him when he took him away, Sue. It wasn't pretty.
Oh, hush, hush.
Are you sorry you married a good humor man?
Oh, no. No, 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 no. Oh, no.
Are you sure? No? Are you sure it wasn't just the glamour of the uniform and all?
Charlie. Charlie, I'd love you whether you had that white coat or not.
Yes, men like Charlie Krasmeyer know their job is no easy one, but they live with it, and they report for duty every day at the plant, where their boss, the chief, Commander F.C. Barr, is just now entering the building. He opens the door and confronts a small, bald man with horn-rimmed spectacles who looks up from the piano. Green?
Morning, Commander.
Yes, what's going on around here? That's all I want to know, Green. I heard one of our trucks over in Westwood playing hound dog.
But, F.C.
Listen, I had that truck taken out of service immediately. Nursery songs, that's all I want to hear. They don't cost us anything.
But I see. The men get punchy from nursery songs. They're cracking up out there.
Cracking up, you say? Nonsense. Every American loves nursery songs. Besides, they're free.
Yeah, but...
Maybe you'd like to go back to television and write Briar Patch Leg jingles.
Okay, I see. That's my sore spot. Say, here's a little thing I've been working on this morning. Now, how does this strike you? The three little kittens, they lost their mittens, and they began to cry. Meow! Meow!
Wait a minute.
Meow,
hold it.
Me.
Hold it. Sure you aren't using a Castellanets arrangement?
Positive.
It's good.
Oh, yes.
One of our more enthusiastic salesmen, I see.
Sir, a cute board for 3 days now. He came in last week.
Get him out of here. Take him out. He's too enthusiastic. Get him out. From the acute ward, you say?
Yeah, poor devil. I know him. His name is Heinegger.
He had the nerve to ask me to take him off London Bridge and put him on Yankee Doodle 2 weeks ago. But he had a month to go yet. That's the trouble with labor today. Wishy-washy.
That's right, FC.
You bet that's right. Now get back to work. I got an employee pep meeting in 5 minutes.
This is the briefing room where every morning 200 white-coated good-humor men sit glumly staring into space, horribly calm, not daring to think about the day ahead of them, only anxious to get the job done.
All righty, men. Yes. Thank you for that splendid ovation. Let's stand up and sing our little song now, and let's sing it like we were in a good humor, eh? Yes.
Humor. Humor. Yes, we are good humor. That is not no rumor. Yay, bo. Music. Music. How we love the
music.
That's
why.
Lovely nursery music. Tinkling as we go. Earplugs. Earplugs. We won't wear at all. Or we will be sentenced to 100 days of Yankee Doodle. Course of tutti frutti, sell it by the oodle. Good humor, we love you. Yay.
Well, that was fine, just fine, man. You can tell a real GH man every time, I always say. You know, you don't eat our bars with your fingers. There's a stick to it. Well, man, that's the key to successful selling. Stick to it, right?
Yay.
Yes, ice cream salesmen are the backbone of this nation, if you ask me. You men keep up the good work, and one day soon, I'll have your chimes tuned. You see if I won't. Now, I won't hold you because I know you're anxious to get out in the field.
Pardon
me, Mr. Barr, sir. Well, Charlie Kranzmeier, what is it? I've been on Pop Goes the Weasel for 3 weeks now. Could I please trade with Jones here? He's got 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie. You know the rules, Kranzmeier. The cycle's 8 weeks.
I can't stand Pop Goes the Weasel. I come home at night, I can't sleep. All night long I hear a penny for a spool of thread, a penny for a needle. I'm sick of it. Sick, sick, sick.
Oh, now, let me have his song, sir. I like Pop Goes the Weasel, honestly.
Nonsense. Pop Goes the Weasel is Kranzmeier's assignment. Just for that outburst, Charlie, you can't have 4 and 20 blackbirds at all. When your time is up, you'll get the farmer in the dell.
Not the farmer in the dell! I had that last cycle!
Get back in your seat, sir.
Do we get earmuffs or don't we?
Well, we can talk about it.
What do you mean talk about it?
Put me down! This is mutiny!
Oats, peas, beans, and barley grow. Oats, peas, beans, all nursery songs, nuts. I am the laughing stock of Robbins, Feist, and Miller. I gotta get away from this. I'll just take a shortcut through the parking lot here. Hey, that's funny. Somebody left their motor running. What's this? Somebody bound and gagged in the front seat. Heavens to popsicles! FC, it's you! And somebody's tied greasy ropes around your nice brown suit. FC, that ain't no brown suit. You've been dipped. Let me get that gag out of your mouth there. Oh, gee, boss, you got little bumps all over. You must be all pecan crunch underneath the chocolate.
Yes, for you, Charlie Krasmeyer, and thousands of ice cream men like you, courage is not a sometime thing, and a tin ear helps.
We salute you, men in white coats. You're a brave and gallant bunch. You stand for right and liberty to say nothing of pecan crunch.
Thank you. Well, we hope you enjoyed our stirring documentary tonight, Uninterrupted Melody. Now, some folks might think this would be a good spot in the show for Peggy Taylor to sing. It is. She's going to sing not 79, not 81, but around the world in 80 days. Count them.
Around the world I've searched for you. I traveled on when hope was gone to keep a rendezvous. I knew somewhere, sometime, somehow, you'd look at me and I would see the smile you're smiling now. It might have been in County Down, or in New York, or Gay Paris, or even London Town. No more will I go all around the world, for I have found my world in you. Et sans espoir de rendez-vous, tout de même je continue. Je sais quelque part, quelque temps, quelquefois, vous me regardez et je vois votre assuré du moment. C'est là où aurait pu être County Down, ou à New York, ou que Paris, ou même à London Town. Plus jamais errer, je rature du monde, que j'ai trouvé mon monde en toi.
Once again, it's time to meet our panel of experts who are back with us tonight as we ran over 2 weeks ago and we did not finish our discussion. I'm glad that you could be back with us, Dr. Linus Quoit.
Thank you. It's nice being back.
Mr. G.L. Spoon.
Good evening, friends in Radioland.
And finally, Mrs. Edna St. Louis, Missouri.
The pleasure's all mine.
Although it does seem to me I got second billing last time.
Yes.
After all, I do have a master's degree in Tarzan.
Yes. Yes, indeed, Miss Missouri. Well, be that it may, we're not going to bring up tonight any of the other things we discussed 2 weeks ago. For example, whether or not Orphan Annie has one red dress and one pair of long white cotton stockings that she washes daily and wears over and over, or many red dresses and many white cotton stockings.
I know that one.
Oh, Doctor, I know you do. I know you do, but
I do know that answer.
Yes, I know you do, but we won't go into that, shall we?
You can get a doctor's degree in Little Orphan Annie for nothing.
Yes, well...
Boy, you know, this guy's really got the rub in that doctor's degree.
Yeah, well, shall we move ahead to other questions tonight?
But
we promised
out.
Yeah, I know we did. Now, shall we... Well, you promised. Now, you promised you gave me your word out in the hall before we went on the air that we wouldn't have any kind of discussion.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
Oh, thank you.
Let's pass the peace pipe here, for goodness sake. Yeah. Now, I've received my master's degree in Tarzan, and you insulted the ideal of my life when you said Tarzan was 72 years old and wore a hairpiece.
Well, he does.
I'll apologize if Mr. Spoon will.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, well, okay, look, I'm sorry. I'll take back what I said about Tarzan's hairpiece. If you will apologize publicly for calling Dick Tracy a big jerk. Listen, Tracy happens to be, and the biographers will agree, one of the greatest living American heroes. And he's just recovering from a severe head wound as well.
Well, I'm terribly sorry. I apologize.
Oh,
I
yes,
do.
Indeed. Aren't we getting along famously here tonight?
Well, it's very nice of you. It's very nice. Yes, and believe me, Miss Missouri, I didn't mean to insult Tarzan. Between you and I...
Between you and me, Mr.
Ooh, that education.
Oh, it's rather nice of her to do that to you.
Between you and I, he's a great ape man, and truthfully, if you didn't get right up there on the newspaper with a magnifying glass, you couldn't tell he wears a wig.
Wears a wig?
Yeah, he does wear a wig.
You should have as much hair on your bare skin rug.
Oh, well, I don't think it's me.
Listen,
now, please,
you
people,
have
people, shall we simmer down on the belt? Simmer, shall we? Promise out in the hall, no more discussion.
Put us on slow, boy.
Yes, sorry. Now, we'll go to our first question tonight. It's in Dick Tracy. Now, this is the question. Does or does not Junior wear a fright wig?
Well, the answer to that has to be negative.
Negative.
It's the boy's own hair, and it certainly doesn't take Dick Tracy to figure out where that question came from, Miss Missouri.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Spoon. I had nothing to do with that question.
Oh, no, those,
look,
those questions...
People,
oh,
listen.
I called him Mr. Spoon.
Here, let
me...
I have something to say. Listen, people. Be that as it may, it is a fright wig on the boy.
It is not a fright wig on
the boy.
It's
a fright
wig. It is not. It's the same hair that any 12-year-old boy will wear.
12-year-old boy?
12-year-old
boy. Certainly.
Why, he's older than Little Orphan Annie.
I take that as a personal affront, madam.
White stockings.
Hold it. We've been all through this. If anybody should be drawing Social Security, it's you and Tarzan. Should look that good in white cotton stockings.
Yes. Please, watch.
Look, Junior,
yes,
the subject is Junior, right?
That's right.
He's a normal American boy that any mother would be proud to call her son. Mm. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He's an artistic boy as well. How many boys do you know who could sketch pictures for the crime lab like he does?
Well, I
don't make me, sick to my stomach. You don't believe that. You don't believe that kid really draws those pictures, do you?
Of course he draws those pictures.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Listen, he's got a ghost artist, and if he does draw them, I could take that cigar of yours and draw a better picture with the ash. I could. Believe me, I could.
Don't give me that. Don't give me that.
Gentlemen, we are having just a little bit of fun at the round table tonight, aren't we?
Oh, it's lots of fun. Yes.
I'd like to say it's Sandy.
Idiot animal.
Please.
How would you like me to punch you in that big, fat, uneducated nose?
Now,
you let him have it, Doctor.
Let's move on to the next subject now, huh, shall we?
All right. Let's
now, could or could not Buck Rogers beat Flash Gordon in a ray gun fight?
Tarzan could make monkeys out of both of them.
Take him against Punjab and Mr. Am with his disintegrator cane and it'd be a one-sided affair, I'll tell you that.
Now listen, I happen to live by the Dick Tracy code. And we're here to stop ray gun fights, not to encourage them. If you're talking about a showdown in self-defense, Tracy can wipe up Rogers, Gordon, Punjab, Sandy, and the antique ape man.
Oh.
And he can do it with Cardooey under one arm and a bandaged head.
Why, you viper!
Antique
you are a viper!
Ape man.
Listen, I'll thank you. Well, once again, that concludes another chapter of Face the Fun. First of all, it's good night to Mr. G.L. Spoon.
If someone shoots you in the chest, extract the bullet and look for small telltale bore markings on the slug and then call a doctor. That's a crime stopper.
Yes, indeed. And it's good night to Dr. Linus Quite.
Leaping lizards. Some folks don't realize just how lucky they are until some other folks shows them how much they've got. Little Orphan Annie, King Feature Syndicate, 1947.
Yeah. finally, our Tarzan expert, Miss Edna St. Louis, Missouri.
Well, so much for literature. We have received so many card and letter. Us to do St. George and the Dragon Net, to say nothing of countless phone call, that we have decided to dig it out of the trunk tonight and dust it off. I'm very fortunate to have the two people who made the original record with me, June Foray and Dawes Butler, who also wrote it with me. Peter, if you please.
The legend you are about to hear is true. Only the needle should be changed to protect the record.
This is the countryside. My name is St. George. I'm a knight. Saturday, July 10th, 8:05 p.m. I was working out of the castle on the night watch when a call came in from the chief. A dragon had been devouring maidens. Homicide. My job. Slay him. Call me, Chief.
Yeah, it's a dragon again, devouring maidens. King's daughter may be next.
Mm-hmm. Got a lead?
No, nothing much to go on. Say, did you take that .45 automatic into the lab to have him check on it?
Yeah, you were right.
I was right?
Yeah, it was a gun. 8:22 p.m. I talked to one of the maidens who had almost been devoured.
Who are you?
I'm St. George, ma'am. Homicide, ma'am. I want to ask you a few questions, ma'am. I understand you were almost devoured by the ma'am. Is that right, dragon?
It was terrible. He breathed fire on me. He burned me already.
How can I be sure of that, ma'am?
Believe me, I got it straight from the dragon's mouth.
11:45 p.m. I rode over the King's Highway. I saw a man, stopped to talk to him. Pardon me, sir, could I talk for just a minute, sir?
Sure, I don't mind.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a knave.
Didn't I pick you up in a 903 last year for stealing tarts?
Yeah? So what, do you want to make a federal case out of it?
No, sir, we heard there was a dragon operating this neighborhood. We just want to know if you've seen him.
Sure, I seen him.
Mm-hmm. Could you describe him for me?
What's to describe? You see one dragon, you seen them all.
Could you try and remember, sir, just for the record? We just want to get the facts.
Well, he was, you know, he had orange polka dots.
Yes, sir.
purple feet, breathing fire and smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And one big bloodshot eye right in the middle of his forehead, and like that.
Notice anything unusual about him?
No, he was just a run-of-the-mill dragon, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, sir. All right, you can go now.
Hey, by the way, how are you going to catch him?
I thought you'd never ask. A dragon net. 3.05 p.m. I was riding back into the courtyard to make my report to the lab. Then it happened. It was a dragon.
Hey! I'm the fire-breathing dragon! You must be St. George, right?
Yes, sir.
I see you got one of them new 45 caliber swords.
That's about the size of it.
You slay me!
That's what I want to talk to you about.
What do you mean?
I'm taking you in a 502. You figure it out.
What's the charge?
Devouring maidens out of season.
Out of season? You never pin that rap on me? Do you hear me, cop?
Yeah, I hear you. I got you in a 412, too.
A 412? What's a 412?
Overacting. Let's go.
On September the 5th, the dragon was tried and convicted. His fire was put out and his maiden-devouring license revoked. Maiden-devouring out of season is punishable by a term of not less than 50 or more than 300 years.
We're a little folks, so good night, late. I mean, we're a little good night, so folks, late. We're a little, well, never mind. Until the next week, this is Stan Freeberg saying thanks for listening. God bless you and good night.
The Stan Freeberg Show is produced in Hollywood by Pete Barnum and is written by Stan Freeberg, Pete Barnum, and Dawes Butler. Featuring the music of Billy May, Judd Conlon for the Mayors, and the songs of Peggy Taylor, with Dawes Butler, Peter Lees, and June Foray. Bud Sewell speaking.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan, thanking you for listening.